Welcome back, guys. DGS 405. Bernie is detained. He'll be with us momentarily. The day got dumber, Rich.
What happened?
We're out on break, and there's literally not another human being in the office that's not on the air.
Well, sure, it's Friday.
I mean, not a human. And so I grabbed a couple dinner rolls and challenged Wiggins to, like, an old-fashioned, old-western draw with the dinner rolls.
Okay.
And we both missed each other, and then I challenged Wheeler, and we did it. And I winged him in the leg, and he's stuck in someone's office door, and we're just leaving it there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys should
got wedged in there pretty good.
Pretty good.
Do something with the giant bowl of corn from yesterday. I don't know
that's
why
like
that's
a as a lawyer, I'm like, that's a liability.
As we were walking out.
Longhorn Steakhouse?
When we were walking out, Andrew was walking out, George Mahey, and I said to George, I'm like, George, I got a tip for your next article. What do you do with 30-hour-old corn that's been sitting out the entire time?
Get the top
chefs. What's the perfect pairing for
kale pectate.
Will it be there Monday? That's the question.
Probably, because, I mean, if no one's going to...
No one's going to throw it away over the weekend.
But there's always someone on the weekends. There's like a wonderful little, like, elf that takes care of all of these things. Like, you know, if people
You used
do
to
leave,
be that elf.
Not in this building, but...
No, but back at Emma's?
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of, it's like, well, I guess I'll take care of it.
So, what was the worst shift you did?
I would come in and I would do the morning show and then I would stay like all day. And that was always hard because I never slept before the morning show. Yeah. So then it's just like you're a zombie all day.
What time would you have to get up in Grafton to be here?
2. Ooh. Yeah, that was bad. There was one time I was anxious about not sleeping. So I took a sleeping pill and I had never taken one before. And it made me so sick, like just very physically ill. And I knew I couldn't and I had to cancel my shift because it's like I can't drive an hour like this. It was bad. I felt terrible.
Sounds bad. Let's do some sports while we're waiting for Bernie. So Cardinals, why do they call it the Hot Stove League?
Because people used to sit around the hot stove and talk baseball feeling about, you know, like when it's cold.
Oh,
so
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Why do they call it the Grapefruit League?
Because there's a lot of grapefruits in Florida.
In Florida? Okay.
Yeah, and cactuses in
You know what
Arizona.
I used to think when I was a kid? I thought they called it the Grapefruit League because the playing in preseason was so much less that the ball looked like a grapefruit. I really thought that's what it was.
Yeah, it can have that. It can be that bad. Let's put it that way.
So let's do a Hot Stove League primer for the
people. All right.
People.
So first and foremost, I'll do a little shameless Camel X promotion. So next Monday, we start with the Gas House Gang.
Nice.
So the Gas House Gang is Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, Matt Pauly, me. Could include at some point like guys like Joe Pott, Mike Claiborne, you know, our crew. Maybe we'll get Ricky Horton involved, maybe some other people. You never know. But we're going to be doing a sports show every day at noon. It'll be live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It'll be podcast on iTunes, Spotify, the Odyssey app. It will be live at noon. So you can watch it as a TV show. You can listen to it as a radio show. It will be podcasted, as I mentioned, all those. So you can do a live TV show, an on-demand TV show, download or listen to it live at 8 p.m. following Sports Open Line every single weeknight.
Very cool.
So that and our priority will be Cardinals, but we'll do other things.
And do you think there's another show out there anywhere with the experience you guys have?
I don't think so. Especially not when you get all four in, right? I mean, you think about, you know, Tom has been covering the Cardinals and working at KMOX, I think, since he was 12.
27 years of that.
Right. That's what I mean. He's literally his whole adult life.
Yeah.
Matt Pauly has done play-by-play for both minor league and major league baseball. He's been in multiple places. He's done he's been pre- and post-game guy for both the Brewers and the Cardinals. He's been doing it now for a long time. He's been doing it for, I think, 18 years, 20 years, something like that. Obviously, Bernie's been doing it since the 80s, and both here for a long time, but also he's done bigger picture stuff beyond that, national stuff and all that. And then you got dumb old me. Who played college ball, coaches, hitters, and catchers, and been doing that for 20, 25 years. Used to write baseball, have been covering the Cardinals for 18 years specifically. So I don't know that you're going to find a single show at any given point that's going to beat that group. Not to say anything else about anybody in town, because we got a ton of great baseball people in St. Louis.
We do.
Derek Gould is one of the best baseball people, and hopefully we can get him in on that,
Katie,
too. That'd be great. Right. There's just so many of them. But I'm just saying at one time in one place, I don't think you'll find that.
And what do you guys, how are you structuring your syllabus of how to cover the off season?
So a lot of it's going to be like just what the news is of a day, right? So for now, there's not a lot of news. So it'll be probably, I would think, bigger picture, right? So, okay, Monday, we probably, unless there's some news that changes, how far do they go with payroll cutting, for example? They've already cut maybe $50 million from the payroll just by letting people leave. Do they do more? What does that mean? Like, so looking at the bigger picture structure, like, what's the step-by-step? Are they trading veterans? Do they want to be traded? Do they want to stay? Like, what are the big moves? We'll be looking at how do they want to add? Do they want to maybe get younger players in trades? Because I think the interesting thing, as we're going to talk about this, is how fast they can turn it around. Because they're not positioning this as a rebuild, right? It's a reset, which by sports definitions is a much shorter thing, right?
Okay.
A rebuild is typically like, all right, it's going to be 3, 4, 5 years. We know we're going to be bad. We're going to be bare bones in the payroll, things like that.
And who's an example of a rebuild in recent memory?
So rebuilds would be like what the Cubs did when they tanked, or like what the Astros did. Those two teams, the longer term for rebuilding is tanking, which means we're going to have no veteran players. We're going all young guys. Everything's cheap, bare bones. We want high draft picks, so we're going to finish at the bottom of the standings every year. That's the full tank job. That's the most extreme of the rebuilds. And then you have other rebuilds that are a little less extreme, but they're still like 3, 4, 5 year plans. This sounds like more of a, like, we want to turn it around and see if we can get going in the right direction in a year or so. Like, we're going to clear some things out, give ourselves a reset. They're dealing with the TV thing, so money's a part of it, right? They're trying to figure out what the TV deal, the local TV deal, is going to look like moving forward, because the Diamond Sports thing that involves, which now, it's now FanDuel Sports Midwest, by the way. It's not Valley Sports Midwest anymore. But that local TV deal getting sorted out is going to be happening while they're resetting the baseball side, too. So the way I've been positioning this is, just as an example, if you make the right moves this offseason, so let's say you go to Sonny Gray and you say, Sonny, we know we sold you on winning. We're doing this little thing. Lay out the plan for him. Do you want to stay? Would you like us to try to find a trade? And then you go from there. Well, if he says, yeah, you know what? I'd like to be traded to a team that wants to win now. You might get two or three players from another team that in a year or two are really important for you. So there's a way you can turn it around really fast if you make the correct deals. And then obviously saving money, whatever you don't spend now, you can still spend down the road.
It feels like we have several players in AAA that are big league worthy, but there's not room.
There hasn't been. Yeah. Yeah. So coming into this year, one of the problems was all these guys that were thinking of the kids, like Michael McGreevy, like Gordon Graceffo, those types of guys, they stunk in 2023. They weren't very good. They had rough years. So you couldn't, like, say, okay, coming into 2024, we're going to plan on McGreevy being in the rotation. You couldn't do it because he was coming off a rough year. So they went for the veterans because they wanted more stability. This year, it's the opposite. This year, it's, okay, McGreevy actually was pretty good this year, and he showed well at the major league level. We're not going to spend $12 million on a 36-year-old starter. We're going to give this person an opportunity. And we've got a few other people that are kind of in that same boat now, who are also going to be in the mix to compete for those spots. So rather than having 5 spots in the rotation set up going in, you might have 3 with a couple of opens for competition.
So if they brought you in and said, look, we know you don't have a crystal ball, but on November 1st, 2024, what are 3 or 4 things, Kevin Wheeler, you think that you would entertain as changes for the Cardinals?
Are you talking player roster things, or are you talking about like philosophical things?
No, a little bit of both, but more player roster things.
Yeah, roster things. I don't want to sign anymore for now. I want to be like for now, not talking about a year. In a year, if I think I'm a contender, I might change this. But for now, I don't need to spend veteran money on middle relievers. So I don't need to sign Keenan Middleton. I don't need to go trade for an Andrew Kittredge, who, by the way, was very good. But I don't think you need to spend on that. You need to use young players to jump into those spots. I would say that you don't need an expensive closer for 1 year. You could move Ryan Helsley and fill that from within and then see where you are in a year. And if somebody takes it, great. If not, go sign one when you
need
one.
What does Helsley make-ish?
Well, he's in his last year of arbitration. He's probably going to make around $10 million this year.
Okay.
But it's not so much about the money. I don't care about that. I care that there are top tier teams that are going all in right now that would probably give me at least two good young players for 1 year of him.
Yeah. Bernie Miklas is joining us now. Hey, Bern.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? How you doing?
So we're just kind of going through if the Cardinals came to you and Wheels and said, we know you don't have a crystal ball, but on November 1st of 2024, give us three or four scenarios that you think are worth entertaining. What kind of things you might tell the Cardinals?
You know, in terms of like what they should do, that type of thing.
Yeah, for this year, for now.
Yeah, I would say I heard Kevin Wheeler talking about it. I think now is the time to trade Ryan Helsley because there's only 1 year left before he becomes a free agent. He could also get hurt, then he would have no value on the trade market. So now's the time. I also think that it pains me to say this because I'm a huge fan of Wilson Contreras. I really like him a lot, but the Cardinals are loaded at the catcher position, mm-hmm. and they have some really intriguing talent. I mean, it's Ivan Herrera, you know, Pedro Páez, two really good prospects. They've got like four guys that could play Major League Baseball, you know, who could be on a team right now or like in a year or two. And if you're going to trade Contreras, now would be the time because you have people to plug in and take over. And in the meantime, you can make yourself better by getting something for Contreras. Also offloading the money that's owed to him so far. I mean, those are two things. I really think, and if Kevin said this already, I apologize. I also think that if you're really thinking about trading Nolan Arenado, I think if it's possible, this would be the time.
Yep.
I think it's really important to trade him because I don't think he would handle a rebuilding situation very well. I think it'd be a very negative thing. But trading him, it's so much easier said than done because, you know, the contract's an obstacle. He's got the no trade. So I don't know whether it's even, what's the word, doable, but I would do that for sure.
And with him, you might be presented with the choice of either getting a decent return in terms of young players or just getting rid of the contract. I don't think you get both.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. It's really good. No, the Cardinals would have to, I would think, absorb a lot of that cost. And if you do that, you'll get a better return in a deal. But if you would have to do that, or really, you really wouldn't get much at all, I don't think.
What do you guys do with Michaelis?
Well, listen, I don't have the stat memorized because it's just something I was like looking up yesterday. You know, his ERA in the last two seasons is over five. But there is value in a Michaelis from the standpoint, if you look the last couple of years, you look at the innings that he's pitched, you look at the number of starts, you look at even the quality starts. I mean, he can give you bulk innings. He's about as durable as can be. And there's a situation where, you know, sometimes at the back end of your rotation, if you need some guy to soak up some innings and be competitive, there might be some interest in him. You know, he's got 1 year left. He also has a no trade. But I think there are clubs that would actually find some real value in him when they look at him based on what they need at that time, you know? So I think he's maybe more tradable than we think.
Yeah, I mean, if the opportunity presented itself, I would be looking to move him as quickly as possible. And your numbers are pretty close to dead on, Bernie. It was over five. When I looked it up, I mean, I think it's like of the qualified starters, third worst over the last two seasons in terms of ERA, but also bottom 5 to 10 in expected ERA, fielding independent ERA. If I could move him and save any of the money, I would do it. I'd rather see a young guy that get those innings. And I know you're right. I you know, the coverage of innings is a bigger deal than people tend to give it credit for being.
Sure.
But in a year where you're not really that focused on winning a division, maybe you just cover that with two or three young guys instead of one.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing about him, like on the negative side, since you mentioned like rankings and stuff, the last couple of years, he's got for a starting pitcher qualifying innings, he's got the lowest strikeout rate and the worst swing and miss rate. many pitchers. So his stuff is really limited. I wonder if he went somewhere else and maybe they could find a way to make him more effective. I don't know.
I agree. That might be an interesting point.
Short little segment here. We went along with Bernie there. And on the other side of the break, we're going to have John Hamm, who we interviewed yesterday. A couple fun facts.
Yes, please. Yeah.
I did not know this. Ronald Reagan was reelected for a second term in 1984 with 525 electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
He won every state except for Minnesota that had 10 electoral votes.
Yep.
Crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Like back when people would agree on stuff.
Right. What we're looking at today? Man, oh, man. Janet Leigh, who is in the infamous psycho shower scene, never took another shower the rest of her life. She only took baths.
Because pretending to be killed?
Yes. It scared her so bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to say something like that.
Hitchcock was famous for torturing his female leads.
You know, that's a good point. I didn't think of that because, I mean, like...
He wouldn't tell them what was coming.
Right,
yeah, he was a real nasty.
Surprise them.
Tippi Hedren in The Birds. He was, like, basically, he was into her and she wasn't into him.
Good point.
Duh.
There's a movie about that, but I haven't seen it.
I've seen it.
Did you like it?
I've seen it.
Astronauts in space can't do laundry, so dirty clothes from the International Space Station get sent out into space to burn up in Earth's atmosphere.
Oh,
that's cool.
Littering.
What? How many clothes do they bring where they can just burn?
I know. Yeah.
Well, maybe they have stuff stocked up there, you know?
Everyone's first favorite video game, Oregon Trail, is being turned into a movie.
Oh, starring who, does it say?
Doesn't say.
The Rock, Kevin Hart, Jack Black.
John Hamm. Yeah.
It'll be Jumanji Part 6.
Yeah.
They did a scientific study on the artist with the most diverse vocabulary in music. Wheels, most of them are metal.
Yes, they are.
Oh, interesting.
The two top are Black Sabbath and Pink Floyd.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Go Ozzy.
Followed by Slayer, Laufey, never heard of Laufey, and Bruce Springsteen.
I think it's Laufey.
Which one of these things is not like the other one?
And Barack Obama's daughter does not use her last name when submitting screenplays. She doesn't want any sort of favoritism.
Oh,
that's good for nice.
Her. Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. Happy 1st of November. Start of the winter season, feels like. So yesterday, while the Halloween replay stuff was going on, Rach and I went out to Del Mar Hall, where Lucas Kuntz was having an event, and he had John Hamm, the great St. Louis actor there, and we got to spend a few minutes with him, so we're going to replay that for you now. Now, it's not going to sound like air studio quality, because we weren't in an air studio. We were in a green room, just using basically one microphone. But the stuff he had to say was pretty interesting, and here you go, me with Lucas Kuntz and John Hamm.
Okay, we good?
We're good.
All right, let's start with some fun St. Louis, Missouri stuff. So, I'm a little older than John, but younger than John, but how great was it, how lucky are we to grow up in Missouri, like, in the 80s and the 90s, in that era? How great was that?
It was great. I mean, I was born in 1971. My dad is a fourth generation St. Louisan. My mom is from St. Genevieve. So I would split time from sort of rural Missouri and the big city. And it was a blast, you know. We were free range kids back then. You went outside and after school, and when you came home, it was everybody. It's become kind of apocryphal at this point, but when the lights came on, you came home. That was it. And if somebody was yelling for a kid, Daryl, where's Daryl? Daryl, go up. I think it's over there, and then the kids would go find Daryl. And
we heard about playing baseball, and you catch something out of your peripheral, and it was a dad bringing an ass whipping, and you just hoping it wasn't you.
Yeah. And well, it was always too. It was. You come home, and whatever season it was, that was the sport that all the kids in the neighborhood
right.
wanted to play. So that was. It was just that. If there was no sports season, it was like, let's find rocks.
One day you just put the football down, you grabbed a basketball, and that was it. All so baseball
frisbee in the in between times. But no, it was great, and it's Lucas and I were driving back from the airport to come up here today. We kind of took the back way through North County, where I'm from, and it's shifted so devastatingly. You know, it's just it's become a forgotten part of the city, and the biggest reason for that is because there's been a divestment of not only money, but just of people and of hope.
Yeah,
you know, there's so many parts of St. Louis, and you could draw a line when it stops and starts, where people just went, this is, forget about it, give up.
We have such an inferiority complex.
And you can't have that. There's got to be hope. There's got to be somebody that leads with positivity.
That's what we're doing, man.
And this guy does
name
it.
Of the game.
Yeah. This guy does it. He doesn't lead with hate. He doesn't lead with exclusivity. He doesn't lead with us versus them. It's all us. He's for Missouri. This is what I loved about his message back in 2022. It doesn't need to be a D or an R behind your name. And, oh, I can only vote for this guy because he's on my team. He's on our team.
Yeah.
The whole state's team.
Yeah.
And that's what inspired me. That's why I'm here. I have one day off this month, and it's happened to be Halloween. And I called Lucas. I can give you one day. I said, come on in, man.
That's absolutely.
And there's one flight. And it's on Southwest that's direct. Otherwise, I would have had an hour on the ground flying through Chicago and down from Denver and everyone. So I got on a Southwest flight at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting on one back at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I came here because I care. I came here because it means something to me. And I came here because this guy's got the right attitude. That's it.
Yeah.
And the other guy doesn't.
Yeah.
The other guy wants to call me a elite Hollywood liberal, whatever. That dude flew in here on a private jet. Flew around the state on a private jet. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Really? That's how you're going to connect with your constituents?
Yeah.
That doesn't resonate with me. That doesn't resonate with me. How do you think that plays in Roachport, Missouri, Boonville?
Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Places I'm sure he doesn't even know exist.
Right. Lucas, we'll talk to you again before Tuesday, but final thoughts here?
That's it, man. We're so excited. We're going to run this thing to the finish line. We got record early voting, and just... down in Cape Girardeau yesterday, had a couple hundred people out in American Legion Hall there. It's more energy than we've seen in this state in a long time. People just want to take power back for themselves. They're tired of communities like the ones we grew up in just falling apart. I mean, it's not just St. Louis, you know, like neighborhood I grew up in, great working class neighborhood, everybody running out of each other's houses and stuff. People had bells out, you know, they'd all ring their bells when it was time to come home. Just empty lots and boarded up houses now.
Yeah.
We need real investment. People in this state realize that. They know it. And we're going to fire Josh Hawley over it.
Well, so far you have two votes. We both voted and we voted for you.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
John, make St. Louis proud, pal.
Thanks, man. Always a pleasure.